onion or three times. Prakarana Granthaha, written by Adi Shankar Bhagavatpada himself. So this Atma Bodha conserves 68 verses, but presents almost all the important Vedantic topics in a comprehensive way. You can say there is a text, there is a Vedantic manual called Viveka Chudamani by the same author, Adi Shankara Bhagavatpada himself. Consists of 600-odd verses. So all the topics discussed in Viveka Chudamani text consisting of 600-odd verses are again covered in Atma Bodha in 68 verses. That is the beauty of Atma Bodha. So that it is easy to comprehend the topics of Vedanta discussed here in Atma Bodha. And the difference between Tattva Bodha and Atma Bodha is Tattva Bodha was in the form of Vidya Tattva Bodha, which is in the form of prose, and Atma Bodha is in the form of verses, simple Sanskrit verses. The language used here is very simple. The topics are very beautifully analyzed, presented. But in Tattva Bodha, the topics are very clearly, systematically presented. Like Tattva Bodha begins with, well, you know, the qualifications required for jnana, then individual analysis, jiva swarupa vicharaha, then ishwara swarupa vicharaha, then enquiry into the truth of the total macro universe. Then there is Aikya Jnana, knowledge of the oneness of the truth of Jiva Deshwara, Jivatma Paramatma Swarupa Aikya Jnana. And lastly, Tattva Bodha presented the benefit of that knowledge. Phalam, Jnana Phalam was the fruit of that knowledge, was the last topic. So, since we have this systematically presented, but few more topics, only these topics are discussed there and very systematically presented, and each topic again clearly demarks. For example, if you say Sveshti Vicharaha, individual analysis, means that it clearly presents Sthula Shariram. What is Sthula Shariram? What is Sukshma Shariram? What is Karma Shariram? And what Atma is? Every subheading also, everything is very clearly discussed and presented. But a few more subtle topics are carefully omitted in Tattva Bodha. And the Atma Bodha includes those few more topics which has to be discussed. They are also present here. And if you see the language part of the Atma Bodha, it's very simple. Simple means, now you are studying already with me on Fridays Aparokshanubhuti. Even the language of Atma Bodha is much simpler than the Aparokshanubhuti. In fact, even for the students of Sanskrit language, if people want to know, the part of speech, every word, and what is, it's easy for people to learn compounds, samasa aspect of the word, and also the sandhis and the meanings, and also anvaya. If people can make proper prose order of the verses and get the meanings, that way it is very helpful for language students. And also helpful for understanding subject matter comprehensively. And also all the important topics are also discussed here. Therefore, Atmabodha is another nice text by Adi Shankara Bhagavad Pada himself. And Atmabodha, if you say, Bodha means knowledge, the meaning of which you have already understood from the textbook Atmabodha. Bodha means knowledge. Then, Atma Bodha means Atmanaha Bodha, Atma Bodha, knowledge of the self. This is a knowledge of the self or self knowledge. When you say self effort, self study, self made person, you should not think that it's not studying and knowledge, knowing something by oneself. That's not the meaning here. Atma Bodha means knowledge for which the subject matter is the self. Knowledge for which subject matter is the self. So knowledge of the self is Atma Bodha, Atmanaha Bodha. That means what does the word Atma mean? The real self. Knowledge of the real self. Why do we have to say knowledge of the real self? Because there is already a mistaken self. There is already mistaken self. That means that there is something else is mistaken for the self, which is because of the ignorance of the real self. Therefore, in order to correct that error in one's perception of the self, one needs to know what the real self is. Therefore, here self-knowledge is called Atma Bodha. And the text is called Atma Bodha. What is Atma Bodha when you say self-knowledge? Whether it is self-knowledge or not knowledge of the non-self. Any knowledge of anything is a process of the mind, process of knowing, which is purely an internal factor, which is antarkarna vritti, isn't it? Which is something internal. But the textbook here is known by the term Atma Bodha. It is something external. How can the Atma Bodha, knowledge of the self, which happens in the mind, and be equated to the textbook which is outside? So, Atma Bodha, the self knowledge, is Antara Vishaya, Manasa Vishaya, something which should happen in the mind, whereas the textbook which is known by the name Atma Bodha is external, Bahya Vishaya. How can the textbook be known by the name Atma Bodha? It cannot be, isn't it? Because you cannot buy Atma Bodha. You can go to the shop, pay some money and buy the textbook Atma Bodha. But Atma Bodha, which should rise in your mind, cannot be bought. There is no money which can be paid to buy Atma Bodha. It is completely inner process. Therefore, how can the textbook be known as the knowledge of the self? And the Shankara Bhagavad Pada gives an answer for this in his introduction to Kathopanishad. Why the textbook can be known by the name? Is it known by the knowledge way? Knowledge means inner process which happens in the mind. Therefore, the textbook cannot be called by the name knowledge. But Shankara says, because it has, or no, the subject matter, the self-knowledge is supposed to be generated, produced by study of this book. Because this textbook serves as means of knowledge of the self, isn't it? Sadhanam, it serves as sadhanam, means of knowledge of the self. Therefore, it can be known by the term Tat Atma Bodha. By implication, it implies that it serves as a means of knowledge of the self. Therefore, even though it is Bahya Vishaya, even the subject matter is the self-knowledge, and therefore it serves as a means of the knowledge of the self, the textbook also can be known by the name knowledge of the self. So, and the Atma Bodha also begins with a verse, like he gives you the verse, and benediction is implied here, and he begins with the verse wherein the qualifications are mentioned and the method of acquiring those qualifications are also mentioned. Now, because you are studying with me, you have studied Tattva Bodha, you are studying again Aparokshanabhuti, and you are studying English, you can understand how always any text begins with emphasizing the qualifications. So let us see, read the first verse. I don't have the textbooks of it, I just have it written kept.
तपोभिः
क्षीणपापानां एंड इट इज ईजी टू मेमोराइज दिस वर्सेस तपोभिः क्षीणपापानां
तपोभिः क्षीणपापानां
शांतानां
शांतानां
वीतरागिनां
वीतरागिनां
मुमुक्षूनां
मुमुक्षूनां
अपेक्षोयम्
अपेक्षोयम्
आत्मबोधोभिधीयते
आत्मबोधोभिधीयते
तपोभिः क्षीणपापानां
तपोभिः क्षीणपापानां
तपोभिः
तपोभिः
क्षीणपापानां
क्षीणपापानां
तपोभिः क्षीणपापानां
तपोभिः क्षीणपापानां
शान्तानां वीतरागिनां
शान्तानां वीतरागिनां
मुमुक्षूणां
मुमुक्षूणां
अपेक्षोयम्
अपेक्षोयम्
आत्मबोधोभिधीयते
आत्मबोधोभिधीयते
ओके आत्मबोधः अभिधीयते आत्मबोधः द टेक्स्ट बुक कंसिस्टिंग ऑफ द सब्जेक्ट मैटर ऑफ सेल्फ नॉलेज is presented here. Atma Bodha Abhidhiyate. And which Atma Bodha? This text which is being studied by us now. I am Atma Bodha Abhidhiyate. It is presented means for whose sake is it presented? It is presented for those who deserve this, for those who, for whom this book is needed. Apekshyaha. Apekshyaha means, you know, expected by whom. Apeksha means expected, needed. This book is presented for those who expect this or need this. Apeksha means needed, expected. And who are the people who need this book? Who are the people who expect this? And those people are definitely those who are endowed with fourfold qualifications. It is easy now to connect. And what are those fourfold qualifications? I remind you. You have to remember from Tattva Bodha, and you have to come back here. Nitya Anitya Vastu Vivekaha, or you can simply shortly say Vivekaha, discriminative knowledge of what is permanent and what is impermanent. Then Vairagyam, dispassion towards everything else, all the objects of enjoyment and pleasures here and hereafter. Vairagyam, dispassion. Vairagyam. Then Shamadi Shatka Sampattihi, the discipline such as Shamaha, Dhamaha, Uparamaha, Titiksha, Shraddha, Samadhana. And the fourth qualification is Mukshutvam, the urge for desire, moksha. Desire for moksha. So desire for moksha, sixfold disciplines, and dispassion and discrimination. These are the fourfold qualifications you have already studied. And the one who is endowed, those who are endowed with these fourfold qualifications are said to be the prepared minded, and who are able to understand, who really need this. Look at those who have vairagyam, and those who have discriminative knowledge, and those who are also endowed with those who follow discipline strictly, and those who burn urge for moksha. Definitely by those people this textbook is very much needed and very much sought, very much wanted. Those are the people. So those fourfold qualifications are presented here. Instead of presenting the qualifications here, the people are said to be endowed with those qualifications. What does it say? Kshina papaha. Kshinaha papaha yesham te kshina papaha. Kshina papaha stands for vivekaha, discriminative knowledge. Then shantaha stands for, people who endowed with sixfold disciplines. And vitaraginaha stands for people who are dispassionate. Vitaraginaha, dispassionate people. Shantaha, people who are calm and tranquil minded. And kshinapapaha, people who are discriminate. Discriminate. And mukshavaha, mukshuna means mukshavaha, are those who have burning urge for moksha, mukshavaha. Okay, people of all those qualifications are presented here, fourfold qualifications are presented. Instead of presenting the qualifications, people, the qualified people are presented here as those who are endowed with those qualifications. For they kshida papaha, shantaha, vita raginaha, mukshavaha. And we have to see elaborately. How do people become kshina papaha? How to acquire those qualifications? How to become kshina papaha? How to become vitaraginaha? How to become dispassionate? How to become discriminate? How to become tranquil minded? How to become calm minded? And how to become really, how to know what the goals, what is the goal of life? Even the urge for moksha also, how to have that urge? And he says only one word, tapo bhihi. Here Shankara introduces one word called tapas. Have to start the whole teaching from this one word tapas. Tapo bhihi, by this austerity. Tapas means what? We're going to see that. Tapo bhihi is a plural word. Tapas in plural is called tapas, na? In plural third key instrumental case plural form is tapo bhihi. By tapas, now, people of tapas or by tapas. By tapas alone, people become discriminate people. People become people of discrimination, people of dispassion, and people of people become mukshavaha and also become disciplined. Only by tapas one can have discriminative knowledge. Only by tapas one can become dispassionate. Only by tapas one can become disciplined. Only by tapas one can have even mukshita, vivekha or moksha. Therefore, tapas is the only way one can become one can become qualified for knowledge. Only by tapas one can become qualified for jnanam. This actually we'll see the meaning of this word tapas elaborately even in Taittiriya Upanishad. We are going to see that. So what is tapas? If all that I need to do in this life is to, initially, what should I do? You follow tapas. Then you will become qualified for jnana. One simple sentence. So tapas means living an ethical and religious life. The word tapas here, only by living an ethical and religious life one can become qualified. So living a religious life and ethical life one can become qualified means. So, because living a religious life means what? Living a religious life means what? Living a religious life means being prayerful. Being prayerful means what? Being an intelligent karta and being an intelligent bhakta. So tapas means being ethical and religious. Being ethical and religious means being an intelligent karta and intelligent bhokta. Being an intelligent karta means what? Karta means a performer of action. Is karta. With reference to performance of action, one is a karta. In reference to the enjoyment of fruit, one becomes a bhokta. So as a karta, one becomes a performer. As a bhokta, one becomes the receiver of the fruit of the action. Receiver of the fruit of an action. Everyone is a karta, everyone is a bhokta, choicelessly. But how to be an intelligent karta, an intelligent bhokta? Remember, tapas stands for religious and ethical life, and being religious and ethical implies being an intelligent karta and bhokta. Being an intelligent karta means being before everything one does, one sparing very, very short time of 1 minute or half a minute for a prayer. We need to spare time, in fact, having proper attitude. So being prayerful, entertaining a prayerful attitude in performing every action makes one an intelligent karta. What is a prayer? O Lord, you have blessed me with the willpower, you have blessed me with the value, knowledge of values. But still, I am anxious about the future, about the fruits of actions. Therefore, please free me from being anxious. So this operating for freedom from anxiety and doing one's actions. Oh Lord, please bless me with this knowledge of right and wrong, and bless me with the will to choose to do the right, avoid the wrong. I know what is right and what is wrong, but still I'm not able to do the only right. I'm not able to avoid wrong sometimes. Therefore, I need the strength to use my will to do the right, to avoid the wrong. Thereby, one's actions become governed by dharma, the values. This makes one an intelligent performer. Prayerful attitude and prayerfully performing action. It is prayer to the Lord before everything one does. Please bless me with the strength to use my will to do the right, to avoid the wrong. And afterwards, even if one does it unknowingly wrong also, that will be neutralized. But this prayer helps one to do things without anxiety. Then a person is called intelligent karta. Then As intelligent bhokta means, again this is a prayer. O Lord, my future is not determined only by my own actions. Who is the contributor for one's future? I know whatever actions I perform, they contribute for my future. But my actions alone do not contribute for my future. Actually, I have no say over my future. The future is determined by you in the form of law and order. Taking into account what I have, is it? In upon my contribution. When your future is determined, every today, next minute, what's going to come is the future from the standpoint of present. The future, of course, is determined by one's actions. But one's present act, one's actions alone do not determine the future means. One's future is determined by Bhagavan, Ishvara in the form of law and order, in keeping with one's contribution. And whatever has been my contribution, I do not know what has been already contributed by me. So, what I am living now, how I am living now, I know. Whatever it is, O Lord, please bless me with strength, you know, to remain equanimous in all situations. This is strength to see everything with, you know, sameness of mind. So this prayerful attitude, this prayer before karma, and prayer before, you know, prayer really makes one an intelligent karta, an intelligent bhokta. What is the benefit of this entertaining, this prayerful attitude? What is the benefit of being prayerful, thereby being intelligent karta and intelligent, buddhiman karta, isn't it? Kriyashilaha, or this intelligent bhokta, samatvam. Samatvam. Samatvam means what? The equanimity in all the situations. It is the prayer which really blesses one with this samatvam. Which prayer? Prayer for what? This particular prayer. Now one has to understand one's helplessness and in terms of not being able to follow dharma. One has to understand one's incapacity in terms of managing one's situation one faces in life. The prayer is the must. This prayer helps one to be what, intelligent karta and intelligent bhokta. As a result, one has this samatva buddhi, a samatva, the equanimity in the mind, that one is free from anxieties. One can manage all the desirable, undesirable situations. So, with this samatvam, if a person has samatvam, then as a religious person, as an ethical person, as an intelligent karta and bhokta, being endowed with samatvam, when a person continues to live his religious life and he can become an excellent pramata, jnata. He can become a learner. One can discover the learner in oneself. Without having the samatva buddhi, it is not possible for one to learn, to become a learner. Bhagavan really blesses one with many opportunities to learn from one's own life's experiences. And one should become, see, what learner means, one has to go to universities to study, to learn things. School, college, universities, we go to different places to learn things to acquire academic qualifications. But the most intelligent person, according to Shastram, is the one who learns from every situation in life. Every situation should teach something. One must be sharp enough to learn from every situation in life, one goes through in life. And even for one to be sharp enough, you know, to be able to learn from every situation, one must have samatva. Without samatva buddhi, because if you are not really balanced, learning is not possible. In Mundaka Upanishad, there is a verse, Pariksha Lokan Karmachitan Nirvedam Ayat Brahmanaha. The intelligent person is the one who learns from one's own life's experiences. So for one to become intelligent enough to be able to learn from one's own life, one must have that inner composure, a samatva buddhi. That samatva is possible only if you are an intelligent bhokta, an intelligent karta, which means you are an ethical and religious person, a prayerful person. Okay? Thereby, now we have to understand tapas. Tapas means what? Being religious and ethical. And being religious and ethical means being prayerful and worshipful. Which means being intelligent karta and intelligent bhokta, which means being free from anxiety and being free from being endowed with inner composure, having equanimity, which helps one to learn from one's life's experiences. An intelligent karta, an intelligent bhokta becomes an intelligent learner from life's experiences. When he learns, what does he learn? That learning from one's life's experiences leads him to the acquisition of accomplishment of fourfold qualifications. Nariya vaalkaila adi vada vaangina buddhi thaanaala varum. If we go to in simple language, we say if we suffer a lot, you know, in life, and naturally one just becomes dispassionate. So even for one to learn from one's life experiences, then in order to become, now how can one have these qualifications? That is why we always say living one's life properly, inverted commas, okay? Properly living one's life is very important to learn from one's life's experiences. And thereby to become qualified. Qualifications won't come overnight. You know, so the tapobihi, they become qualified. Tapobihi, they become qualified. And we can say how, you know, how they become, how does tapasvi helps them to have those qualifications. They learn. Initially, as a religious person, initially as a raw-headed person, you are interested only in other things. You are dependent on everything in the world for your security, for your happiness, for your peace. And when you're religious, somehow you understand, even though you are dependent on the objects in the world, people in the world, or situations and positions and possessions and all those things for your well-being, for your happiness and peace, you're depending on the external world, you're relying on the external world. Therefore, then what happens is you have many ends. Your goals are many. And then what happens as a religious person, as a worshipful, prayerful person, you include Ishvara as one of the goals. Initially, as a simple, prayerful, worshipful person, as a simple religious person, you include Ishvara as one of the goals. Why? I have to worship and pray. If these are all the goals I have to accomplish, why? They contribute for my happiness and peace. When you think you are relying on other things also for happiness and peace, you are also having Bhagavan as one of the dependent things which are depending on for your happiness and security and peace. And so being religious, being worshipful, being prayerful, as an intelligent karta, as an intelligent bhokta, enjoy, isn't it? When you live your life, and with the samatvam also, and every situation teaches you. You learn from all the situations. What do you learn? I am relying on so many things. When compared to all those things I'm relying on for my peace and happiness, I think Bhagavan is the most reliable. Ishvara is the most reliable for my happiness and peace, for my security. This is the learning. This is the first learning. Beautiful, isn't it? How it's developed. Initially, Bhagavan is one of the goals dependent upon for your happiness and peace and security as a simple religious person. And that religious life lived properly, teaches you the lesson, it is Bhagavan, the Ishvara, the most reliable. Then, and compared to all other things, all that goes for peace and happiness. All other ends, all the everything else in the world. And thereafter, when you live further, go through tough situations, going through difficult situations, tough situations, handling, dealing, things, and you discover the fact. It's called what? Discovering, no? It is, Bhagavan is not the most reliable. Bhagavan is the only reliable source of happiness and peace. Bhagavan is the only reliable source of happiness and peace, security. Initially, Bhagavan was one among millions. Thereafter, Bhagavan became the top priority. And now, Bhagavan is the only end. This is called what now? Discriminative knowledge. It's called Vivekaha. This clarity should come. How can you have Viveka? How can you have discriminative knowledge? This clarity will not come overnight. From most reliable to the only reliable. It's a fact. And this fact one has to discover. We call it Bhagavan in religious language or Puranic language. In Vedantic language, in Shastra language, in philosophical language, we have to say Jnanam, reality, Mokshaha. It's a fact. Once you discover this fact, what is it? Bhagavan is the only reliable source of reality, is the only reliable source of happiness, peace and security. Then what becomes now? This reshuffling takes place in your, reshuffle your ends. Bhagavan, initially who was one of the many ends, became what now? The most important end. Then now Bhagavan becomes the only end. This reshuffling of your priorities, once Viveka is there, you reshuffle your ends, then you reshuffle your priorities. Without Viveka, discrimination, this discriminative knowledge, how can you reshuffle your priorities? What is your priority? How will you know? What is your priority? How will you know? What is your... How will you know? So, the clarity comes. How do you know it is the Bhagavan? It is Ishvara. The only source of happiness, peace and security. Nothing else in the world should be relied on, dependent on for happiness and peace. How? Pariksha lokan. Analyzing all the accomplishments and ends. One learns from experience. And to be able to learn from one's experiences, you should have a samatvam. You should have this inner composure, equanimity. How do you get it? Only by being an intelligent bhokta and karta. By living a religious and ethical life. What you have is discrimination, discriminative knowledge. It is the Bhagavan Ishvara who should be depended on for my happiness and peace. Then Bhagavan becomes the ultimate choiceless only end. That is called moksha, a reality. Then naturally your passion is only for Bhagavan, and without any effort you become a virahi. Okay, vairagyam comes later. Viveka, clarity is there. What your end is becomes very clear, and naturally all other things become subservient or secondary. Artha, secondary. Kama, secondary. Even dharma becomes secondary. All the ends, you may have so many things which would have been so important for you in your whole life. What are all the things we give importance for? Naturally, I'm not saying should not give importance. Whatever is very important for me once in my life, now I understand that is not at all important. Our fathers come and tell you, you cannot accept, you cannot see that. You have to discover this fact for yourself. Understand? The change has to take place in one's mind, cognitive change. Change born of the understanding, the limitations of everything. Everything has its own limitation. It cannot be nothing in the world I can rely on for my happiness. Nothing in the world can give me happiness and peace. This is a fact. But we cannot think that easily. We will still be going after things only. It's not that easy. It is Bhagavan, it is Ishvara, the only source of happiness and peace. That Viveka, isn't it? That clarity alone will easily help me discover dispassion towards everything else. So Viveka will lead you to Vairagyam. What should come first? Vairagyam cannot be there before. It is Viveka, it is discrimination which will lead you to, which will help you to have Vairagyam. And once Vairagyam is there, all the disciplines become easily lived. It is the Vairagyam. The Vairagyam which will help one to enjoy following any discipline. Without Vairagyam, without discrimination, Vairagyam is not possible. Without Vairagyam, following disciplines becomes meaningless and also burden, sumai, or pain. Following disciplines will become pain otherwise. Whereas here, following disciplines will become joy and easy. People say, we want to follow disciplines, we want to be disciplined. Nobody really wants to be indisciplined. But very difficult to follow disciplines. People always say this. But here, Shastra says, once you have clarity in terms of what is that which will give you really what you want in life, and dispassion becomes effortlessly discovered, or the dispassion towards everything is there, and it is natural for you it's easy for one to follow disciplines. Isn't it? Then, have that in mind. All that is there is what? Moksha. Because value of end is very clear. The end is very clear. Knowledge means is very clear. Isn't it? Vivekaha. Clarity means what? All these things very clear. There's a desire for moksha is what now? Natural. I told you natural. It cannot be put off at all. In fact, desire for moksha, all the desires for so many things in the world will be reduced to one desire, the only desire, desire for moksha, desire for knowledge, desire for Bhagavan, desire for Dharma. Isn't it? Desire for Bhagavan, desire for knowledge, desire for moksha. Therefore, and this is how tapas helps one acquire fourfold qualifications. We have to remember this clarity in terms of what am I living this life for is not possible. Without that clarity, without knowing the end, every day when you get up in the morning, get ready and go out of the house, you are very clear where you are going. You are very clear what you are going to do. How the day is going to be is a different question, but still you go very clearly. Imagine when you get ready, go out, and you don't know where to go, what to do. What a miserable situation to be. Similarly, the whole life will be wasted if we do not know what we are living this life for. Isn't it? But it is, one cannot go and tell, you know, you are living this life to discover moksha, freedom, happiness, solve it there. If you go and tell it is in the mind, there is no receptivity. For one to be able to receive, to understand, to retain, isn't it? One needs a mind, and prepared mind. And therefore we say, first of all, clarity is very important. This having this clarity, having this discriminative knowledge. What is discriminative knowledge? It is the knowledge of the truth. It is knowledge of what Bhagavan is. It is, in fact, knowledge of truth is attainment of Bhagavan. Should be relied only source of happiness and peace. This is the greatest learning. When this learning, isn't it, to discover this fact, one has to learn from one's own experiences. And for one to be a good learner, thereby to learn from life situations, to discover this fact, Bhagavan is the only source of happiness and peace, one should have samatvam. Samatvam is what? Inner composure. Inner composure. Being able to withstand all the situations with sense of mind. And that is possible only if a person is an intelligent bhakta. For one to be an intelligent bhakta, one should be prayerful. One should pray for strength to be able to accept everything without being shaken, without being shattered by anything which comes in life. And one should also be able to do things without any anxiety, for which also one needs to pray, invoke grace to have the strength to be righteous always. Therefore, it all boils down to what now? Now, the discovery of this passion, discovery of the end, the discovery of the fact Bhagavan being the only source of happiness itself is learned from one's experiences, and being able to learn from one's experiences is dependent on one being a good learner, and one being a good learner is dependent on one being an intelligent bhokta and karta. One being intelligent karta and bhokta is dependent on one being ethical and religious, which is implied by the term tapas. Is it clear? Yaho tapo bihi. So Shankara's Bhagavad Pada says, tapas is the only way by which, tapas means they say you have to understand, elaboration of tapas. By tapas alone, people become, here he uses the word, the shantaha, vitaraginaha, kshinapapaha. Kshinapapaha means, papa literally means sin. But here we should take the meaning as what? Being deluded. Those who are free from delusion are said to be those who are no more deluded. Okay, being free from delusion is what now? Being free from papam. Papam literally means pap sin. Kshina papaha means they are free from delusion. What is delusion? Being dependent on world and people and situations, external things for one's happiness, security and peace is being deluded. Being care means what? Having viveka, being discriminate means what? Being dependent only on the truth, knowledge of the truth, on Bhagavan for happiness and peace. Knowing, knowledge, truth, knowledge is the truth, but Bhagavan is the only source of happiness and peace. Is it clear now? That is why kshina papaha means those who are free from delusion. That means those who have discovered this fact, Bhagavan being the only source of happiness and security, that way, okay, those who understood that everything else in the world being not reliable for happiness and peace, those people are said to be kshina papaha means vivekinaha. Kshina papaha is equal to vivekinaha. Nirgata mohaha. Those from whom moha has gone, they are no more deluded. Until they discovered the fact, they were deluded. What is that which helped them to discover the fact, to become free from delusion? The lessons from life. How are they able to learn from the experience of life? Because they are good learners. How is it possible for them to be good learners? Because they were good bhoktas and good intelligent bhoktas and intelligent kartas, which means they were highly prayerful in terms of being a doer, as a being a receiver of fruits of actions. Is it clear? And therefore, kshina papaha. Once they become discriminate, they are vitaraginaha. Their raga for everything else in the world has gone. Their attachment, their passion for everything else in the world naturally goes away. They are free from vigataha, ragaha, yebhya, te vitaragaha. Those people from whom all their ragas have gone away, there is no more passion for anything. They are very clear. What I want is this. Nothing in the world can give me what I want. I know now what is it which will give me what I want in life. And such people, once they reshuffled their goals, they reshuffled their priorities, they know how to live their lives, and they are no more anxious. They are calm. Imagine, the end is not clear, the means is not clear, then it is impossible for one to be shanta, to be quiet. One has to become relatively quiet in order to discover the absolute quietude, absolute peace. Because they live disciplines effortlessly. Priority in life is different, goal is different, therefore it is easy for them to live disciplines, thereby to be free from any inner conflict, inner problems. They are calm, shantaha. And such people are definitely what? Mukshavaha. They are totally committed to the pursuit of the end called Bhagavan in the form of knowledge of truth, which is otherwise called freedom or mokshaha. Okay? So this verse presents the qualifications in the form of those who are endowed with qualifications. And this verse also presents how to acquire those qualifications. This verse also presents tapas being the means of acquisition of those qualifications. Okay, so Shankara says, let us read the verse. I want hereafter every verse, every class we do, see that there are different ways of doing it, isn't it? Tapo bhihi kshina papa. Tapo bhihi itself presents tapas being the means of acquisition of qualification. By what? How do they become qualified? Tapo bhihi, tapasinal. The instrumental case, panchamyate, hetu, becomes the means for that. Tapo bhihi kshina papanam.
Tapo bhihi kshina papanam.
Shantanam vitaraginam.
Shantanam vitaraginam.
Mumukshunam.
mumushunam
apekshyoyam
apekshyoyam
atma bodho bhidhiyate
atma bodho bhidhiyate
tapo bhihi. Now with the posada, okay? Tapo bhihi says
tapo bhihi
Shina papanam
Shina papanam
Vita rajinam
Vita rajinam
Shantanam
Shantanam
Mumukshunam
Mumukshunam
Apekshyaha
Apekshyaha
Atma bodaha
Atma bodaha
Ayam
Ayam
Abhidhiyate
Abhidhiyate
Or Ayam Atma bodaha Abhidhiyate. Simple, clear language. No confusion.
Just apeksha.
Apeksha. Apeksha means need. Apeksha is a participle, potential passive participle. Apeksha. Apekshate is needed. Apeksham, apekshah, no? Mahyam, I can say, mahyam mama, laddukam, laddukam maya apekshate. What does it mean? I want laddu. Maya laddukam apekshyate. Present passive. Pustakam apekshyate. Kaha apekshya idanim. Who is wanted now? Who is wanted now? Buddhivan yuvakaha apekshya. So who should be, who is needed as the ruler of his country? Buddhiman purushaha, chaturya vanitiman purushaha, asya deshasya, deshasya apekshyaha. Apekshyaha means needed, is needed. Actually, Pitiji, even that apekshyaha is a potential passive, you can take it here as the needed. So this ayam atma bodaha, this knowledge of self needed for whom? For whom? For whom is it needed? Is presented for those who need this. For those it is needed. I am Atmabodha Apekshaha. This Atmabodha text is needed for whom? Mukshunam. For those who have Mukshah. For those who are Shantaha, for those who are Vivekinaha, for those who are Vitaraginaha, for those who are Kshinapapaha. Katam te Kshinapapaha Bhavanti, Katam te Mukshavaha Bhavanti, Katam te Shantaha Bhavanti, Tapo Vishi. Tamil Bharata Samskatam? Samskatam, doesn't it? Katham bhavanti mukshavaha, katham bhavanti kshinaraga, kshinapapaha, tapobihi kshinapapaha bhavanti. Kshinapapaha bhavanti, ataha viraginaha bhavanti. Ataha shantaha bhavanti. Ataha mukshavaha bhavanti. Te sham apekshyaha. Kim apekshyam? See, kim apekshyam te sham? Kim apeksham, what is needed for them? Kim apeksham, we can ask. Atma bodaha is a mastering. Therefore, atma bodaha apekshyaha. Kaha atma bodaha, I am atma bodaha. This self-knowledge is needed. Therefore, it is presented. Abhidhiyate atra. Good, isn't it? See, that's why I told not to worry when you read atma bodaha. I told not to read this. Take it to, because when you study from different angles, it is beautiful, isn't it? Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om Tat Sat